You may have sensed a tone in chapel this morning. Sometimes in the Christian life, our experience is up and it's bouncy and things are good. But if we are honest, sometimes it's not so bouncy. And sometimes things don't go well. And sometimes in our churches, we're afraid to talk about the fact that I'm really down right now. And so we've invited Kevin Gorley to come and talk to us this morning, talking out of his own experience, but talking also out of Psalm 42. You've noticed that the Psalms that we've been singing are reflecting some of that, and I want to read Psalm 42. Here's David's expression in a time when things are not so well. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Kevin Gorley to us.
Great to be here this morning. Welcome from Memorial Park Presbyterian Church, Evangelical Presbyterian Church. We're in the process of leaving the mainline church, and please pray for us as we leave. David Smith is one of our members, as well as Nate Roebling. Where's Nate? Vince Latz is one of our youth ministers. And I've got my son visiting here today. Where's John Hunter? Where is he? He's skipping out again, right? Oh, there he is, right there. He really wants to go to Grove City, but you guys talk him in to staying here. He's visiting here for the first time, has Grove City in his mind, but I want him to branch out and look at other places. Speaking of depressing, is this what I really look like? Looks like a blow-up doll or a guy that had too much Botox or something. Man alive. Oh, wow. The psalm that Dr. Smith read for you is an interesting psalm written by David. David was upset about his son Absalom causing a rebellion and leaving the kingdom and trying to rise up and form another kingdom. He was very depressed by that. It's an interesting psalm because this psalm was written, if you look in some of your Bibles, it says book 2 here. This was meant to go along with the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. Book 1 would be read with, which is the first 41 psalms would be read with Genesis. Book 2 would be read with Exodus all the way down the first five books of the Bible. If you notice here, the first four verses, and then there's a following a refrain. Why are you so downcast, my soul? Then it goes for four more verses into a refrain again, four more verses into a refrain, and then it really goes on into Psalm 43. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 go together. But I want you to know here that David is depressed. Many people in the Bible were depressed. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Paul at times. Paul said, I wish that my life would be taken. We have many people in history who have suffered from depression. Winston Churchill, who was a strong believer. Abraham Lincoln. In our nation today, 17 million people suffer from depression. It's not a weakness. It's not a lack of faith. Many Christians I know have suffered from depression. It's a physiological ailment like diabetes or high blood pressure or cancer. It can be treated. You're looking at a person who's suffered from depression, and I will tell my story later on in the course of the day. Actually, in the chapel service, I have to stop in about 15 minutes, so I'll get to that pretty soon. But I want to look at a couple principles in the Scripture that stand out to me. I grew up in the South, and I love the blues. I mean, I like B.B. King and John Mayall more than the Beatles or the Rolling Stones. I meant to bring my harmonica today to blow the blues, but I forgot it. I also forgot my wallet if I could borrow some money for lunch from some of you. But this is not just a case of the blues. David is really, really depressed. The first principle I think we find here in this Scripture is we need to stop looking at ourselves and start looking to God. Stop looking at ourselves and start looking to God. In this Scripture, there's 37 personal pronouns, 24 referrals to God. If you've ever gone through challenges or you've ever gone through depression or trials in your life, you know that you can't pick yourself up by your bootstraps. It doesn't work like that. If you've had a physical illness, you can't heal yourself. You need to look to God and others to bring you up. And part of that is not taking ourselves so seriously. I remember when I was a pastor beginning my pastoral ministry some 25 years ago, I went to see one of my first guys in the hospital. He had just had open heart surgery. Big man. He looked at me, and even in the course of trying to get well, he was joking with me. He said, "Kevin, I have a bulldog, and there's one reason I have a bulldog." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I want to know that there's something in the house that's uglier than me when I wake up in the morning." That's not taking yourself so seriously. We need to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Something I pray for when I marry people is that God would give them a great spiritual purpose in their life, to live beyond themselves and their own selfish desires, but to live for something greater, and that is a movement of God. We've got to find out where God is moving and go there. Be a part of it. Get on the wave and ride. But the first principle is this. Stop looking at yourself and start looking to God if you're in a place of depression or a place of trial. The second is to stop looking to the past and start looking to the future with God and hope. Stop looking to the past and start looking to the future with hope. I don't know about you, but every time I get up to preach or teach, I feel accused by the enemy. I know my sins. I know my peculiar struggles. I have no right to be up here. You know, when I came this morning, I thought there was going to be about 50 or 60 people that came to chapel because they wanted to. Man. You know, when I saw all these people in here, all I wanted to do was crawl up in a fetal position and suck my thumb, but I know I'd embarrass my son. When I get up to preach or teach, I feel accused of the enemy, of all the things that I've done wrong. But you know what? I'm under the blood. I'm not under accusation of the enemy. Yes, he knows my sins, but my sins have been forgiven. And I'm being delivered from my sins by the grace of God. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, salvation. But if we need to go back into our past to heal what we might be suffering now, we need to go back with Jesus. If you look at verse 6, boy, I can't see it. I need my glasses. Whoa. Verse 6 says, therefore I will remember you. Verse 4 says, these things I remember. We need to go back with Jesus into our past and let Him heal those hurts. Let Him take our hands and walk through those past, the past wilderness of our lives that we might be healed. The enemy will always accuse us. I'm a big baseball fan. One of the graduates of this college is our youth minister of family ministries, Rob Spar. And Rob Spar said yesterday, only 17 more days to spring training when the pitchers and catchers report. He always has this eternal optimism about the Pirates. He's so excited about baseball season starting. But I read a story about Mickey Mantle in the 1950s when he started a particular game. He struck out 3 times and he was downcast. And he went to his locker room and he sat down by the stool and he had his hands in his head and his hands. And he felt this presence. He looked up. It was Yogi Berra's son, Tommy Berra. And Tommy came up, just a little guy, and laid his hand on his shoulders. And Mickey Mantle was getting ready to think that he was going to uplift him, like, get him next time or something like that. And he just looked into his eyes, this little boy, and he looked at Mickey Mantle and he said, you stink. You don't stink to God. The Bible says that we are God's workmanship, which means masterpiece. Do you know that each one of you is a masterpiece, no matter how you feel about yourselves today? For you are God's workmanship or masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He created in advance for you to walk into. You don't stink. Each one of us is a masterpiece created by God for good works. You're just here to discover the good works you're supposed to walk into the future. And God's got a plan for each one of us. And then finally, I think our scripture teaches stop looking for reasons and start resting on the promises. Stop looking for reasons and start resting on the promises. There are 6 whys in this psalm, and it's good to question God. It's good to ask Him questions. That's a part of intimacy. He says in here, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And then he looks to God, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning? It's good to be in conversation with God, to question God. But it's not good to question His character, because God's character is a character of deliverance. He will deliver you and He will deliver me. Look at the promises here. Verse 2, it says that God is living. Our God is not a dead God of our parents that forced us to come here because they wanted us to be good Reformed Presbyterians. No, God is living. He goes on to say, our God is our Savior. What are we saved from? Ourselves and our sins and from eternal destruction and hell. God saves us from that. The Lord is a Lord of love, unconditional love. God is a rock. We can stand upon the rock no matter what storms hit us. When I was coming from the library, walking over here this morning, man, that gust of wind was awful. I was asking myself, why, God? Why? Why did I have to move up here from Florida? God is a rock we can stand upon, and then again, God is our Savior. I don't know if any of you have ever suffered from depression, but I want to just give you three sources of hope. We need to have hope to get through and rest on the promises of God. Viktor Frankl, in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, talks about his experience in the prisoner of war camps of Dachau and Auschwitz. And he said that those prisoners who lost hope were doomed, and it usually happened quickly. If we have hope in our lives, we can get through anything, anything. And God is the God of hope, no matter what we go through. He said one morning a prisoner would refuse to get up and he wouldn't get dressed or washed or go outside to the parade grounds. No encouragement by fellow prisoners would help. Losing all hope, the prisoner would lay in his own excrement until he died. American soldiers later told Viktor Frankl that this behavior also existed among American POWs and was called give-it-up-itis. Don't give up, no matter where you are. If you're suffering from depression or feel like you're going through it, it's beyond a case of blues. It's just we all go through seasons of our lives. In fact, there's a thing here called sad. What does that mean? Seasonal affect disorder. You know, there's less sunlight here than probably Seattle. A lot of people suffer from that. And I have one of those happy lights. You know, somebody in my depression support group that I run at the church, I guess thought I was so depressed trying to lead the group that they gave me this happy light. And I have it on, and it really helps, you know, to get that light. But there's a seasonal affect disorder. But depression even goes beyond that. Reach out for help if you feel like, don't suffer alone. As I said, depression is it's like high blood pressure or diabetes. You go to a doctor for that. Don't be ashamed to go to a doctor. Reach out for help. Give yourself time to heal. Some of the modern medication for depression is good stuff, and it's a gift of God. If you're a Christian, would you take medication for high blood pressure or diabetes? Would you take pain medication if you had a broken arm or a broken leg? If you're suffering from depression, don't be afraid of medication. It helps. It works. I've been on it. It helps, but it takes about 6 weeks to kick in. Reach out for help. Give yourself time to heal. And have meaning or purpose in your life. In the couple minutes I have left, I just want to tell you my personal story. I was born on the mission field in South America. My mother died shortly after my birth. She had a rare blood disease and died suddenly and tragically. My grandparents came down to South America to get me and my older brother and take me back to the United States. My dad stayed on the mission field for 6 months to close up shop, and then he came back to the United States. My dad ended up marrying my mother's best friend about 2 years later. He was desperate for somebody to help him raise these two boys. And then we had another brother after that. But when I was in high school, my junior year, I went through a crippling depression and ended up in a psych ward. It was a psych ward or psychiatric hospital in Charlotte, North Carolina, that my grandfather, a brain surgeon and psychiatrist, helped start. He studied under a guy named Sigmund Freud, and his grandson ended up in the hospital. Man, that was an education. I tell you, I was in there with a bunch of drug addicts and Vietnam vets, and I was thinking, you know, what does this have to do with me? I got out of there, and my family moved to Atlanta, And I started going to a Presbyterian church, went to the youth group, and I became a born-again Christian. I mean, I had a conversion experience. And it really changed my life. Went on to Furman University, went to Columbia Theological Seminary, graduated, was a youth minister in sunny Florida for 5 years, came up here to Pittsburgh. Never been to Pittsburgh in my life, although this Pittsburgh was where my wife was raised. Went to her home church to become one of its pastors. And in 1993, I cycled into depression again. I thought, this can't happen. I'm born again. I'm a Christian. I'm ordained. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I couldn't function for about a week. My wife got me in the car, drove me to another psychiatric hospital, and turned me in there for 2 weeks. But this was a different kind of hospital. It was a Christian psychiatric hospital, a Minerth Meyer clinic. And I began to deal with some stuff in my past life I never dealt with. Just becoming a Christian doesn't always deal with your past. I realized I'd never grieved my mother's death when I was born. I went through intensive therapy for 2 weeks, got out of the hospital, got my life back together, and went through intensive Christian counseling for 9 years. And have a ministry now for people that grieve or in depression. And I still have a proclivity towards it. I'm on medication right now. I take a little bit of medication every day, along with my vitamins. And I know I have a proclivity towards that. And I have to watch my schedule. I have an addictive personality. I'm what they define as obsessive, compulsive, addictive, depressive. That's why I look this way. But God can even use me. And He's brought healing to my life. There's one scripture I want to close with before He holds up the 1 minute sign. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, "No temptation has seized you that is not common to man, but God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can stand or bear. But when you are tempted, He will find you a way out so that you can stand up under it." What that scripture is teaching is when temptation comes, to give up, endure it, stand firm on the rock, reach out for help. Your healing will come. Just endure it. Don't give in to the feeling of that moment. Some of you might be suffering silently from depression. Reach out and get help. Depend on the Lord. The Lord will heal you. The Lord will use your brokenness. I want us to do something different right now as we pray, something that our session and our deacons do at our church. I want us to get down on our knees and pray. Do you do that all the time here? All right, you're saying, don't do it. No, please. No. I want everyone to get down on their knees. And we're just going to ask the Lord to come and meet us where we are. I'm not going to force you to, but you're going to look like a real sore thumb if you don't. Let's get down on our knees and just pray. One thing that Dean Smith and I were praying for is that revival would come. What is revival? It's God's presence saturating this place. That revival would come here. I believe the next revival, maybe the Lord's speaking this, I believe the next revival is not necessarily going to come through the churches. It's going to come through the Christian colleges and reach the churches. And I think this is one of the places God wants to touch. Let's pray. Father, I pray that Your Spirit would descend upon this campus, descend upon each person here. Lord, I know there's people here that have lost all hope, and they need You to touch them today. Father, come into them and just cleanse us, Lord. Cleanse us of the filth of our lives, and Lord, show us how special we are to you. Cleanse us of our past. Lord Jesus, let your blood run over us. Give us healing. Lord, I pray for that person who was thinking about suicide today. Lord, that you would reach and grab their hand and just take them to the person they need to talk to. I pray for that person here today who has never made a commitment to you as Lord and Savior, that you would do that. I pray for that person today who has that ache in his left elbow. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come and touch and heal. I pray for that person with the heart of fibrillation, Lord, that you would calm down that heartbeat and let it beat according to your rhythm. Lord, I pray for that person with that lower back pain that's just been excruciating. I pray even right now that you would touch that and heal that in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for that girl who was abused through life, sexually abused as a child, and has been suffering in silence, that she would tell her story to a safe person today and get it out. We know the opposite of depression is expression, and bring healing into her life. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. We bow before you. We pray that you would move in our midst. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I got to tell you, God's Spirit was moving here today. You might think that I do that all the time. I've never done that in my life, what I just did. So, thanks for the opportunity.